This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Why the European Union wants to create a blacklist of tax havens today, and Japan's attitude to corporate scandal.
What's wrong with white-collar crime?
This is the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. It's estimated that 10% of the world's wealth is hidden away in tax havens. That's more than $7.5 trillion. In Brussels today, European Union finance ministers are expected to adopt a blacklist of tax havens. Niels Johannesson, Associate Professor of Economics at the University of Copenhagen, told me what's known about the list.
If you don't want to be on the list, you need to be engaging in what is known as automatic information exchange, meaning that you, like every year, you collect information about foreign account holders in your country, and you send information about the income and the wealth from these accounts to the home country of the owners. So basically, you help other countries fight offshore tax evasion by individuals who are hiding wealth in your banks. Secondly, you also need to have a fair tax system, which is a much bigger concept. But here it means something like, you know, not offering better tax deals to foreign multinationals than you offer to your own domestic firms.
But isn't that in itself really contentious? Because, I mean, look at Apple in Ireland, for example. The EU
Yes.
referred Ireland to the European Court of Justice for failing to collect back taxes on Apple. Apple has now agreed to pay $15 billion, but both Apple and the government of Ireland are appealing the ruling. They both want to make it beneficial mutually for a company to choose a country with lower corporate tax rates.
I think with this notion of fair taxation, it means that you are allowed to set a very low tax rate if you apply it generally to all firms, but you're not allowed to make special regimes that make you attract, you know, mobile profits of big corporations, exactly what Ireland has done for decades. But what is a bit ironic here is that Ireland is most likely not going to be on this list because the EU will not put its own member states on the blacklist. Most likely there will be no EU countries on the list, although they really constitute the biggest problem.
Once the EU does come up with some kind of list, what are they likely to do with it?
Some people saying that it's just going to be a naming and shaming device that will be enough to nudge countries to adopt more cooperative standards. Others want international organizations like the IMF to not pay out money to countries on that list. Some would like higher like disclosure standards for firms that use these tax havens on the blacklist, so that it would be like more of an administrative burden for firms to use these places.
Niels Johannesson there. Let's do the numbers. European markets are mostly lower today, with France's CAC down 31 points or 0.58%. London's FTSE 100 is bouncing between gains and losses. And pass the popcorn. Europe's Cineworld has agreed to buy America's Regal Entertainment Group for $3.6 billion. It's a deal the companies say will create the second biggest movie operator in the world by number of screens. Japan is almost defined by its big corporate names, Hitachi, Toyota, Sony. In the last few years, though, a growing number of scandals suggest something is rotten in the state of corporate Japan. Think Takata, Kobe Steel, and Toshiba. So why has Japan's corporate reputation taken such a hit? The BBC's Roger Hearing reports.
Japan's industrial showcase is visible in adverts and video displays here in the heart of Tokyo. But the trophies have been looking, well, a bit tarnished over recent years.
Tokyo stocks have opened fractionally lower after a scandal over Kobe Steel.
And now Toshiba is at the centre of a scandal in which executives are accused.
There's now widespread talk of a culture of concealment rather than candour. The situation was plain as far back as 2011, when Michael Woodford, the British boss of the optical equipment maker Olympus, was booted out after he blew the whistle on what the Wall Street Journal called one of the biggest and longest-running loss-hiding arrangements in Japanese corporate history. It led to a massive shake-up, but a change in attitude, Michael Woodford says, the opposite.
I would say, you know, 80% or more of corporate directors in Japan would view me as somebody who betrayed my company, that I bit the hand that fed it. You know, what's wrong with white-collar crime?
One of the stranger aspects of this attitude is that the salarymen and women do stand up to corporations and take on their dodgy bosses, but only in fiction. Now that was an adaptation of Hanzawa, a book in the genre of corporate novels. Marino Nagai, professor of creative writing at Temple University here in Tokyo, has made a particular study of the corporate novel.
Well, there's a TV show that was a franchise from a novel called Hanzai Naoki, and it was basically about a man working in a corporation. He sees his injustice, so he rises up. That book was a bestseller.
The question then really, I suppose, is why?
We have 35-year mortgage. We live 2 hours away. We have to take this packed train, working 16, 17 hours. And the question becomes, what is life, really?
Professor Marina Nagai in Tokyo ending on that rather existential question. We'll be hearing more from Japan tomorrow, why the nation's working moms struggle to find balance between childcare and work. Finally, good news for those of you who worry about fumbling with your phone while driving. General Motors and IBM are going to build in-dash e-commerce into about 6 million Chevys, Buicks and Cadillacs by next year. I'm Anu Anand with the Fumble Free Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.